And we are now going to get a little bit deeper into our top story of the afternoon. And we are joined in studio by news director Brighton McConnell. Brighton, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, Andrew. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. This news came out today, and there was a press conference at 2:30 right before we started News on the Hill. So we passed like ships in the night as you were off to the press conference.
Yes.
What was the latest? What did we learn at this press conference from the Orange County Sheriff's Office?
Sure. So as you've been saying during the show, this press conference was called in relation to the ongoing murder investigation and now court case regarding the deaths of Lyric Woods and Devin Clark. Lyric Woods, a 14-year-old from Efland, and Clark, an 18-year-old, from Mebane, who were shot and killed on September 18th. The latest here is that we now know the name, the identity of the prime suspect in this case who has been detained. It is a 17-year-old, which hampered why investigators were able to talk about this case before, I should say, Andy, because North Carolina does have laws against 16 and 17-year-olds being tried as adults. Initially, you have to go through a process in juvenile court where the court case can then be referred to superior court for that person to be charged like an adult. That is what's happening here. That process is now complete, and the suspect will be showing up in superior court. So that's where we get to today, where they call a press conference and they share that 17-year-old Isaiah Mackay Ross, a Mebane resident, is the prime suspect who's been apprehended and is facing these double homicide charges.
So we knew that the suspect had been apprehended and identified weeks ago, and there had been a little bit of frustration, I think, amongst some people in the community about not getting more information. As you just explained, that was because of state laws about protecting juveniles, generally accused of crimes far lesser than a double homicide. So this was being like the first really high profile case since this law has been in effect, at least in this immediate local area. Was that addressed more at the press conference today?
Yes, a little bit. The assistant district attorney, Jeff Neiman, started off the press conference by saying we and the sheriff's office have really been hurting with the community when it comes to this case. He said that they're outraged and that they understand how frustrating it can be for the community to not be getting all that much information when a detainment had been made, when a suspect had been identified, and especially in a case where it was tough, where both of these teenagers were missing. There was a lot of rumors flying around that first weekend, and then it took a little while to formally identify that the two bodies that were found were indeed Lyric and Devin. And also the gap of time between when a suspect was identified and then when the suspect was actually detained, that was 18 days and after Devin and Lyric's murders. So Jeff Neiman definitely talked about, we understand that there's some frustration here, and they hoped that this process would share a little bit more of a timeline of what we know. But, you know, there's still a lot of questions that are left unanswered. To share a few more new details from this press conference, the sheriff's office does not have more information right now about why Lyric and Devin left and any sort of connections they might have with Isaiah Mackay Ross, the prime suspect. That might be teased out a little bit more as the court case unfolds. They do believe, however, though, it was early Saturday morning that Devin and Lyric might have been shot off of Buckhorn Road. The sheriff's office said in their investigation that talking with neighbors around the area where the bodies were found, they reported hearing gunshots at some point early Saturday morning, and right now that's the best that the sheriff's office is working off of to try and assume maybe what time this crime actually happened. After that was the case, Ross fled North Carolina. This is not too surprising based on comments that the sheriff's office had made. We now know that the timeline there was late Sunday is when the 17-year-old left North Carolina and traveled to Delaware, where he stayed as this investigation was unfolding. Sheriff Charles Blackwood said that it took pretty extensive cooperation with Delaware and Delaware Violent Crime Safe Streets Task Force. So a task force, I think, specifically meant to address violent crime and those who have committed it. But because Orange County Sheriff's Office had its own information. These investigators needed to confirm information about Ross's whereabouts and do their own investigation in order to get a search warrant. So that explains a little bit of the time that it took. But Ross fled to Delaware and was eventually brought back and put in a secure juvenile detention center in a different county on top of all these other procedures that had to happen. So that's kind of the latest update on the timeline. There are still lots of gaps in between there, and from what we have heard from the investigators today, those gaps are likely to still remain for a little bit as this court case begins to unfold in Superior Court.
You're hearing the familiar voice of 97.9 The Hill News Director Brighton McConnell, and we're discussing the press conference from the Orange County Sheriff's Office this afternoon, where they formally, or for the first time publicly, identified the suspect in the murder case of Devin Clark and Lyric Woods. And as you said, we got like a you know, scraps of new information. The name's a big piece of information for sure.
It is.
And then we learned about where he was apprehended and a little bit of the timeline of the crime itself. Now we're in that court process. Is there a sense of what the next step is, where we might find more information or when that next court appearance would be where something might be revealed?
Well, the assistant district attorney, Jeff Niemann, did confirm that the next Superior Court session where this case is going to be brought up, and so the first time that Ross will be appearing in front of the court, appearing to be tried as an adult, will be in the November 15th and 16th session for Orange County Superior Court, or the Superior Court covering Orange County, I should say. However, that's likely to be a procedural appearance. There's not going to be any sort of, you know, big trial and unfolding of details there. These often take many, many years, as we know from some other high-profile murder cases that have happened and where suspects have been identified. But that will be a first step and certainly a first opportunity, I think, for a lot of people in the Orange County community to see Isaiah Mackay Ross as you see him in the courtroom there. No specific time yet for when he will appear for his first appearance on these charges, but it will be in that November 15th and 16th slate. One interesting note I think is worth saying, Andy, is that Ross's attorney, the defense in this case, did not file to appeal this case being moved from juvenile court to Superior Court. So I wonder if that is any sort of indication of how they plan to approach it, whether, you know, we're looking at guilty pleas or whether there's going to be any sort of deal cut here since it is a 17-year-old. This is a pretty heinous case. There's no doubt about it. But I do think that maybe that has something to do with them deciding to not appeal it in the juvenile court. But that is one extra detail that stood out to me that they were able to share today, was part of the reason why this press conference was held today, right after a 15-day kind of period after the Orange County District Attorney decided that they were going to try the suspect as an adult. It could have taken 10 days longer if they decided to appeal, and that ultimately did not happen.
We're visiting with Brighton McConnell, who is in the room for the press conference this afternoon. Any other takeaways from what it was like there in the room?
Not too many, other than this is a case where I think a lot of folks' questions are going to remain unanswered. I'm sure that people who are connected to the families might have much more information. It's going to be tough for us as a small news organization that's in the southern part of Orange County to stay up to date on that. There's a chance that there's going to be a lot of speculation floating around now that we do know the suspect's name as well. So, you know, we'll see what emerges, and if anybody comes forward with some solid reporting on whether there are connections here, maybe trying to lay out a more concrete timeline of how these two tragedies happened. But at the moment, when it comes to the investigators in the case, the folks who we believe have the most information out of anybody, they are limited in what they're able to say, and we still might not even be able to find out a true motive even as this case goes through Superior Court.
Still lots of unanswered questions, and we will get you the latest here on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com, but we're only going to get you the latest that we can confirm responsibly. We will not be reporting numerous rumors and innuendo that will likely be on the internet tonight
that
we know this name.
That is correct.
Yes. Brighton, anything else before we move along here?
I don't think so. We'll have a story on this on the air tomorrow. In the meantime, if you want to find some additional quotes from Sheriff Blackwood and Assistant District Attorney Jeff Niemann, be sure to head to chapelboro.com. Otherwise, just do your best to stay tuned. We have a lot of other local news that we're going to be covering as the week goes on.
That's right. It's Election Day tomorrow and this big story breaking. So a lot going on in the newsroom. Thanks for making time to jump on the air, Brighton.
Of course, Andrew.